for this podcast special report, we're going to talk about possible solutions to the COVID vaccine so that if you or someone you know has already taken one or you're forced to take one, we now have really good knowledge about how the vaccine kills people and what you can do to protect yourself from the vaccine, you know, if you're forced to take it. Now, just for your information, I did a podcast like this about a month ago with some early recommendations, but now we have learned more. And primarily we've learned that the Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca vaccines are causing artificial blood clotting or coagulation of the blood inside your body. Now, if you look at your blood under a microscope, healthy blood has red blood cell platelets that are each individually moving around, and they don't clump together, obviously, because these red blood cells have to move through every nook and cranny of your body and get to every living cell. And the red blood cells carry oxygen in hemoglobin, and then the hemoglobin is a special molecule. It's really amazing. It transforms into a form that can also carry carbon dioxide, which is then transported to your lungs for exhalation. Because, of course, carbon dioxide is a poison to your body, although it's a beneficial molecule for plants. And the inverse is also true. Plants are getting rid of oxygen. They're essentially exhaling oxygen, and they're taking in carbon dioxide. So the hemoglobin molecule in your blood is able to transform itself in a very clever, what you might call a molecular origami. It literally changes its structure to be able to carry carbon dioxide versus oxygen, depending on whether it's taking oxygen to your cells or transporting carbon dioxide away from your cells. Okay, so it's the same structure, hemoglobin, that does both of those jobs, which is, it makes it a lot more efficient. So then, what does this have to do with the vaccines? Well, so we now know that blood clotting then is caused by these vaccines. And we also know why. And it's because the spike protein antibody is itself biologically active. By itself, it causes artificial clotting of the blood. And these blood clots then get transported to different parts of your body, such as your brain, your heart, your lungs. And depending on where they go, they can cause damage there. They can cause damage in your liver or your kidneys or, you know, other tissues and organs. Now, why isn't this killing everybody with blood clots? The answer, I believe, is because right now it's only killing those who are already predisposed to what I call sludge blood. So what is sludge blood? Well, it's just like it sounds. It's blood that doesn't flow very well. It's sludgy. And if you think about it, what can cause sludge blood? Well, lots of things. But number one is dehydration. So people just aren't drinking enough water. And part of the reason for that is because they don't have a water filter. And they say, you know, tap water tastes horrible. And it does. They're not drinking clean water. And they're just not getting enough hydration. So that can cause your blood to be really thick and more syrupy, where you already have red blood cells that tend to kind of clot together just from dehydration. But there are many other things that can cause that as well, including inflammation of the cardiovascular system. And what causes inflammation? Well, vegetable oils, especially when they're used in fried foods. So if you're eating fast food, and you're eating something that's fried in, let's say, canola oil or corn oil or soy oil, that's probably causing inflammation in your blood. And this inflammation is leading to at least a predisposition to coagulation. And so right now, just from mentioning those two things, dehydration and vegetable oils, it should be pretty obvious that a couple of things that people could do to reduce their risk of dying from blood clots is, you know, number one, drink more water. It's probably good for you anyway. Most people don't drink enough. Some people have lost their sense of thirst, actually. So you know, just make a point to drink a proper amount of water. And they say, at least I've heard doctors say, that when you urinate, if your urine isn't clear, in other words, if it's yellowish or even darker, then you're just not drinking enough water. So your urination should be clear and you should urinate several times a day. That's kind of an indication on how much water might be healthy to drink. But then when it comes to vegetable oils, we know that there are healthy oils that can be used in cooking and food, such as, for example, olive oil. You know, olive oil is widely known now. You can purchase it at grocery stores. And I mean, sometimes it's hard to get real olive oil because a lot of it's counterfeit. But if you can get real olive oil, that's going to just flow better in your body. Whereas canola oil and corn oil kind of gunks up your cardiovascular system. And even when you're cooking with olive oil, avoid fried foods. I mean, don't even fry things in olive oil, because fried foods, no matter what oil the foods were fried in, the frying process creates carcinogens in the carbohydrate material that's part of the frying, like the flour coating, for example. The process of frying foods creates, for one thing, acrylamides, which are inflammatory chemicals. Now, some of you may have heard from your doctor that taking an aspirin a day may thin your blood. It's called, you know, blood thinning is kind of what we're talking about here, is reducing the viscosity or improving the flowability, you might say, of your blood. And this is actually true, although I don't recommend taking any drug every day just as a daily thing. If you were about to get vaccinated and had no choice about it, could aspirin help thin your blood so that you don't have this artificial coagulation? The answer is potentially yes, absolutely it could. And also, of course, then there are other more difficult things, you know, lifestyle changes, such as being more fit, being more athletic, having a healthier cardiovascular system, obviously is going to, you know, allow your blood to pump more smoothly, and you're going to have more, you know, resilience in your cardiovascular system. So fitness is part of it, but that's not a simple thing for people, and not as simple as popping an aspirin. I've also talked about fish oils and similar types of supplements that are, you know, healthy oils which can support healthy, normal blood flow and circulation. So I think circulation is a big part of this. And those of you who practice Chinese medicine, or TCM as it's called, you will note that circulation is... This is one of the things that Chinese medicine focuses on with the qi channels, is boosting circulation to particular tissues and organs. And as you know, if you have qi stagnation, which means insufficient circulation to certain areas of your body, you're more likely to get clots there. In fact, lack of circulation neurologically, or let's say inefficient blood flow in the brain, can increase the risk of blood clots, i.e. strokes, happening in the brain. And the same thing is true with the heart and the lungs and other organs. So there are ways to address circulation. You can use Chinese medicine. Acupuncture is effective. You can use vibration plates. By the way, those also boost circulation. You can use herbs like ginger that are known to support circulation. You can use a rebounder, where you hop up and down on a little mini trampoline, you know, in your own living room. Just do it safely, obviously. But rebounding boosts circulation and boosts bone density as well. And just taking a daily walk or swimming, these things boost circulation. Now, when you combine a healthier diet, which is, you know, eliminating the toxic oils and eliminating the fried foods and eliminating, you know, just the junk that clogs up your blood, which would be, you know, just too many unhealthy fats, basically. And you move into healthy fats like avocados and flax seeds and olive oil and so on. Even coconut oil, in my opinion, even though some of it's a saturated fat, I think it's a healthy oil, and it has, it flows very well at body temperature. You know, it only turns into a solid at quite a bit less than body temperature. So as long as you're not, you know, as long as your temperature is above 75 degrees Fahrenheit, coconut oil is going to be fine circulating through your body, because hopefully you're closer to 98.6 Fahrenheit, right? Unless you're some kind of a undead zombie or something, which is out there. But I'm not sure that they eat coconut oil. they're more like looking for human flesh to eat or something. But think about combining these things, you know, decent exercise. Try a hot water jacuzzi to boost circulation. Eat healthier oils. Drink more water. Maybe consider taking an aspirin if it's okay. I mean, there are sometimes digestive effects from taking too much aspirin for too many years and so on. So check with your doctor or your naturopath about that. But think about other types of herbs that support the body's natural response to inflammation caused by exercise, for example. So a lot of people like to use turmeric as a spice, a food, or even a superfood that just helps them feel better in response to, you know, post-exercise recovery or just waking up in the morning and not being warmed up and so on. You know, try turmeric. You may be astonished at how good that makes you feel, especially when you combine it with a little bit of black pepper as well. It can be, you know, very, very effective. And then I want to mention 5G. Don't forget 5G, because 5G exposure, I think, causes coagulation in the blood in some people, because we know it results in the production of what are called peroxynitrites in the blood. And these are radicals. These are oxidative radicals that really damage the blood and damage arterial walls, by the way. So if you're exposed to a lot of 5G, you have a 5G device, you live in a city with a lot of 5G towers, and you have these other factors, you know, which are associated with diabetes, typically from having a poor diet and so on, that's when you're going to have the highest risk of being damaged by the vaccine. So the vaccine, from what I can tell, is actually tending to damage people that are just right now, right on the edge of, you know, being so unhealthy that they might have a heart attack anyway. And then the vaccine, you know, is just that tipping point, that one more straw that breaks the camel's back and sends people over the edge. So the good news is, I mean, even though I don't recommend taking this COVID vaccine because it's not even approved by the FDA, it's a crazy experiment. But the good news is, as we learn more and more about the mechanisms of toxicity for this vaccine, we're also finding out more and more what you can do to potentially protect yourself from this vaccine. And there are a number of things you can do, things that also, all these lifestyle habits, they also tend to prevent diabetes, they tend to prevent cancer, Alzheimer's, and so on. So if you think about it, the things that you probably could do that where you could have a lot of benefit in terms of protecting yourself from vaccine toxicity tend to be the very same things that you can do that help prevent the onset of chronic degenerative disease anyway. And that's good news, because you're getting like double the benefit from deciding to do these healthy things for your body and your longevity. So, you know, nutrition, good rest, good sleep, moderate exercise, stretching, rolling, choosing healthy oils, drinking plenty of water, maybe choosing certain superfoods and supplements if they're appropriate for you. All of these things, avoiding toxic junk foods and fried foods, and of course, you know, not smoking, obviously, that kind of goes without mentioning these days. But all these things that you can do, avoiding sodas, you don't want to drink high fructose corn syrup because that's inflammatory. You can do all these things so that if you're ever forced to get a vaccine, maybe at gunpoint for all we know, your odds of dying from a blood clot become significantly lower than for other people who are right on the edge of having these issues anyway. So I hope this has been helpful. It's just another reason to pursue a healthy lifestyle and eat organic and avoid pesticides. You know, take care of your health. And that's what I'm all about as well. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, founder of healthrangerstore.com for healthy foods and personal care products and so on, things that can help you stay healthy and pursue good nutrition for good longevity. Thank you for listening. Share this everywhere, and you can find more of my podcasts at brighteon.com.